What I'm going to do is we're going to go through some hardcore stuff here, okay? And my job is to give you a lot of different angles, a lot of ways to look at things, and different goals that we're going to have. So let's go ahead and get started. The first thing that we need to do is we need to acknowledge, Barry. You can't change what you don't acknowledge. So what I want you to do is make an honest assessment of what's going on in your head and how you're reacting to it. So share that with me right now.
I know I've been through a lot. I know I have the support of friends and family, but a lot of the times I feel like, Kiana's my younger stepdaughter. I feel like Kiana and I have just been, you know, abandoned, and we're left on our own to pull ourselves out of this. I feel like I have some of the tools, some of the abilities to do it, but I can't push myself to, you know, get up every morning and be productive. And I find myself, you know, wasting time and knowing I'm wasting time, but can't get going. And, you know, I realize that if I don't get going with a business or get reemployed, you know, we're going to lose our house. We're going to lose, you know, the stuff we have and the lifestyle that we have. And you know, it's going to take a lot to recover that.
Okay. So I think that's a pretty darn good, honest assessment. So now the next thing is, take responsibility. Is there anything that you could have done to prevent any of this from happening? Now, the reason I share this with you, and sometimes it sounds pretty cold, what I want a person to do is when they're going through a lot of emotional stuff, I want them right away to see, is there something they could have done to prevent this from happening? And the reason we want to do that is because 5 or 10 or 20 years, if this applies to you, you could probably say yes to that. But the quicker we can do this, the quicker we change our paradigm and how we look at things. Now, your particular situation, there's not a lot of application here because, you know, it's something that happens, like with your wife. These are things that happen. So in any of your situations, of all the things that you're sharing, is there something that you could do to have prevented this? And this is not to minimize anything that's going on. Do you understand why we're asking the question, how it just changes your mind shift right away to start looking at responsibility? And it makes us feel as if we're minimizing what we're going through. And it sounds, you know, kind of tough and mean, but I want us to get to the thought process all the time. Is sooner or later, what we get to look back 5 or 10 years and say, ah, it's not as bad now. And if we can get there quicker, we get results quicker. Does that make sense, Barry?
Yes. Yeah, it does. And, you know, I think there are a couple things. You know, from the employment, from the job standpoint, I let it be known to the people that I reported to that my family came first. And I think there were probably some times where I didn't get opportunities at work and, you know, may not even have been laid off if I put the company first and was, you know, totally engulfed in that and neglected other parts of my life. But I tried to maintain, you know, a balance, especially with the family and teenage daughters.
Good. Now, let me interrupt you here. Understand, too, Barry, that this question and the answer you give is not by any stretch of the imagination to put any guilt on anybody. Because if you're not careful, you've probably already done that. And you cannot live with guilt. Because if you live with guilt, you can never heal and let go. Does that make sense? So this question is not to go there. It's to change your whole paradigm and looking at things. It's to get yourself to move on, grow from it, and learn, even though you don't feel like it. Keep going.
Right. And, you know, I don't feel guilty about that part of it. And as a matter of fact, I look at it as a blessing in disguise with being laid off about the time Linda got sick, because it enabled me to devote 100% of my time 24/7 to caring for her. And once she did get to the doctor and was admitted to the hospital, in 3 months, she was in the hospital 5 times for a total of 40 days. And when she was home, I was her caregiver.
Beautiful.
So
good for you.
I you know, I don't beat myself up for that. I look at that as a blessing.
Awesome.
But I do think, you know, I didn't force her to get to the doctor. I knew she was sick. I knew she wasn't feeling good. She had a medical background, and her attitude was, you know, I can take care of myself, leave me alone, I know what I'm doing.
Mm.
And her mother is a nurse, and her mother had encouraged her for 2 months to get to the doctor, and I had encouraged her, and we didn't do it.
Mm.
I truly believed, had she gotten to the doctor even a few weeks, but certainly a couple months earlier, she her disease would have not progressed to the state it was, and she would still be here today.
Very good. And you're not living with guilt with that, correct?
I do feel guilty about that, yeah.
Okay.
You know, hindsight is always 20/20, but that comes into my mind every day. Why didn't I drag her to the doctor kicking and screaming?
Okay, let me ask you a question. Why don't you blame her grandmother? Kind of sounds like a stupid question, right? Now, here's what I'm getting at.
Because I...
Let me tell you where I'm going.
Every day.
Why are you not blaming her grandmother or her great-great-grandmother? Because it's because of that line that she came to be. So basically, it's really all their fault because they brought her into the world. You see how ridiculous that is? So why shouldn't they feel guilty too?
Yeah, I think her mother does feel a little bit guilty.
Well, you see where I'm going, though.
Yes.
That's only because her mother was involved in this. But if her mother wasn't involved with this, you see where I'm going. You can take this so far. So, you know, then your great-great-great-great-great-grandmother, they should all feel guilty too because they were responsible for bringing her here eventually. And you can't keep going there. If you keep going there, how does that make you feel?
Right. It makes me feel bad.
Exactly. So here's the next thing that we've got to do in line with this. You can't change what you don't acknowledge. And the next thing, number three, is accept what you can't change. So you can't change the fact that this has already happened, correct?
Yes.
So what we've got to do now is we either are going to accept that we can't change this, or we're going to go ahead and feel guilty for the rest of our lives. So the quicker you can get to the point that you say, okay, I accept what I can't change. I cannot change that this happened. It's done. Your goal now is how fast can you accept that? The longer you feel the guilt, the longer you're showing that you're not accepting it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So how can you reason with yourself to work on eliminating this guilt? Because see, this is a normal thing. I shared a story earlier where let's say a boyfriend and a girlfriend, you know, they're at home cooking and she wants to have him get some milk. And then he decides, well, you know, he's whatever, pissy about it, doesn't want to get it. So she goes to the store, gets the milk. She has an accident along the way and kills herself. Now, he's totally guilty for it, or he feels guilty, I should say. Well, then I go back to the analogy. Well, why doesn't this mother's, this girl's mother or father, why shouldn't they feel guilty? They should too. They're the one that brought her here to the earth. Well, that doesn't make any sense. That's ridiculous. So how far can you take this? Things happen all the time. And why not, he could reason, well, you know, I shouldn't have dated her. I should have dated some other girl because if I'd have dated the other girl, I wouldn't be dating her. Then I wouldn't have felt this bad because now she wouldn't have had an accident. You see where I'm going?
Yeah.
So you've got to be careful how far you can take this because you can take this in like a little hamster and go around and around and around and around, and you cannot live a healthy life feeling that guilt. So what are some of the things that you think you can do and how you can reason with yourself to help use some of that analogy that I just shared with you and buy into it where you're not ridden by guilt, even though it's you're doing seems to be doing a pretty good job. But yes, I do understand that it pops up. Then I think you'll also realize and admit that it lessens as time goes. Have you found that?
Yes, I think so. Although there are days where, you know, it just comes to the surface and it's like, you know, we're starting all over again. But I think, you know, she was a strong headed person, and you know I've learned you pick your battles. And
yes.
So I chose that my battle wouldn't be to, you know, tell her what to do in that case. You know, she knew her health issues. She knew what she needed to do, and you know we don't understand why she didn't get herself to the doctor, but it was her choice.
Okay.
And if I look at it from that standpoint, I think it helps me relieve the guilt. But then on the other hand, sometimes it makes me angry with her for not thinking more of me and the girls.
And leaving you by yourselves.
Exactly.
Okay. So what I would suggest you do is at least write that down to help you alleviate some of the guilt, then manage the anger. And that's where we go to the fourth step. Manage your emotions. There is no magic pill for this. I mean, you can take meds and alcohol and so forth, but you know that's just a Band-Aid. So what can you do to manage your emotions?
I'm not sure.
Okay. What are they like in your worst days?
You know, in my worst days, I just, you know, some days I don't even want to get up.
Okay.
In my worst days, I'm so disorganized, and not disorganized. You know, I start something, it's like ADHD. I start something, and then I just move to something else, and I don't carry things to completion.
And do you think that happens because you get so distracted because of your emotions?
Part of it, yeah.
Yeah, I could understand that.
Yeah.
So here's what I want you to do. A way you can manage your emotions is you need to put down what it is that you need to accomplish each day. What happens is when we get so emotionally distracted when we experience so much stress and crisis, it's very, very difficult for us to stay focused, Barry. And if you put it down on a piece of paper, you know, even if it's two or three things that you need to accomplish today, that's going to be your roadmap that you need to go to anytime you feel distracted by some emotions. Because what happens is, as you know, if you don't have this stuff written down, it's so easy to get distracted, you don't even remember what it is that you were supposed to accomplish for the day. Have you ever experienced that, I'm sure?
Yes, all the time. And, you know, I don't do it every day. I do make lists of things that need to get done. And even with the list, I sometimes don't get even the important things done.
Okay, and I'm going to tell you why. We're going to get to that in a little bit, okay?
Okay.
And the answer to that is because you've lost hope, by the way. And we're going to go to that in more detail. Would you agree with that? Because hope gives you purpose, and you've lost some of your purpose, yes?
Yes. And as a matter of fact, it's only been the past few months where I've, you know, come to recognize that, you know, I do have a purpose.
Ah.
When Linda first died, it was like, what's my purpose?
Exactly.
And my only purpose was to
the girls?
Raise, yep. You know, continue to raise the two girls,
yep.
in the best way I could alone.
Okay.
That was all basically all I was living for. And now, you know, I'm trying to get more involved in other things and reestablish that purpose.
Okay. Well, we've jumped ahead. The next step after managing your emotions is attitude. So we're going to get back to purpose in just a second. I kind of jumped ahead because we're on that. The next thing now is attitude. Attitude changes right away very quickly. And one of the things that I related earlier in this program is, you know, you can watch somebody on the news, you know, after they've maybe lost their house in a flood or a fire, they're in tears, they're devastated, and then maybe a couple years later they come back and interview those people, and they're total, there's a total difference in their attitude, obviously, because of time, right?
Right.
Now, one of the things that we buy into if we're not careful is time heals all wounds. If you want to wait on time, yes, you'll be waiting a long time, you'll eventually get healed. My thing in telling you is time does not heal all wounds, you do. So what I want you to do is, are there things that are emotional triggers for you that just make you stop and weep and just, you know, feel the pain? And if they are, can you share one or two with me?
And just losing her, there's times where just thinking about, you know, our marriage. I mean, I was married, she was my third wife from two other failed marriages. I was her second husband. But through those bad relationships, we somehow learned how to make a very great relationship. And, you know, no marriage is perfect, but we
sure.
just had a really, really good marriage. And so, you know, that makes me sad that I had that, and now I don't anymore.
Okay.
But I try and look at it as, you know, God bless me with her for – you know, more than 10 years in my life. And so I had all that happiness for 10 years, even though I lost. That make sense?
That's a huge, great perception of attitude. Absolutely. Absolutely. So my next question in line with this is, how can I heal faster through this? So what is it now that you're not doing that you know 10 years from now you'd probably do, which means you've healed or healed faster?
You know, I kind of look at it that just I have to acknowledge that she's not here anymore. And I think losing her is the biggest part of this. You know, I can get over the job thing. I can get over a teenage daughter becoming pregnant. And incidentally, she's gotten married to her boyfriend, and they're doing a great job of taking care of the child. So we have to be, you know, thankful for that. You know, it's the loss of a loved one. And, you know, I lost my father 18 years ago. I've had some high school classmates that have passed away, but it's just not the same when it's your wife.
It's not. So then what can you do to make this healing happen faster? Let me ask you a question. Now, this is brutal. A lot of people who lose a loved one, eventually they get back into a relationship with somebody else. And that's probably hard for you to wrap around right now, correct?
It is, because there's some really big shoes to fill as far as our relationship went. But also, I don't want to bring another woman into my girl's life at this point.
Okay, that's fine. But do you see where I'm going with this, though, just to stretch you?
Yeah.
So maybe it's not in a relationship part. Maybe there's something else that you're going to do, you know, a year from now or 5 years from now that showed that you've healed more or you've moved on more. And see, what happens is a lot of times we have a hard time wanting to move on faster and push it because it causes us to feel even guiltier. But if we hang around and wait on time to do this, we don't know what we're waiting for. We're just waiting and crying for years and years and years. And then after we do 5 years of crying, we kind of wake up and say, okay, you know, I feel a little bit different. I'm moving on now by doing this or this or that. So what I want you to do is, you know, after we spend some time together, is write down 5 years from now or 3 years from now, what are specific things that I would do, or what do other people do in my circumstances? What have they done to show that they've moved on? I'll give you an example, and I shared this earlier. When I found out why my wife was cheating on me with a 15-year-old kid, I found out where it happened. And I actually gave power to that day, Barry, to the point where I couldn't drive by that location. And instead of giving power to it, I said, you know what, I can't let this control me. Time does not heal all wounds, I do. So I drove past it, and I cried. And I drove back and cried and forth and cried till I got it out of my system. And I wanted to move on. It doesn't mean moving on, in your particular case, means that you love her less. It means getting back on your feet emotionally and mentally and financially, even if you never look at another woman for the rest of your life. You with me on that?
Yes. Yeah.
Now, let's go to number 6, which we tapped on, finding hope. And hope is so powerful, because what you've got to do is you've got to fill your pipeline full of hope, Barry. And I predicted, before you even said it, what was the reason that you woke up for, and the reason you had to wake up was, and I don't know if you caught it, I said your daughters, because that gives you hope. What you need to do is you need to make a checklist, and I can't tell you what it is. You're going to only feel it. You're going to say it or write it down and feel it. You need to put down on a piece of paper more hope. What is it that I can add to my hope chest, if you will? You've got to fill your pipeline full of hope. You look at Job in the Bible, he lost everybody. He lost all hope. And hope is the anchor to the soul. And if you lose that, I mean, it's like you've lost everything. And you understand what it's like when you lose hope. So what you need to do is I want you to start adding more hope to your life, more purpose. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, another thing I want you to think of, which is very powerful when it comes to managing our emotions, and we talked about that, is always remember that the present emotional state of mind that you're in at this very moment, Barry, whether it's positive or negative, it stems from something that you thought about in the past or the future. And if it's a negative emotion that you experience right now, it means you have just thought about something in the past or the future that's negative. When I say past or future, we could be talking 5 seconds, 5 minutes, 5 years, 50 years. So if you want to manage your emotions more, when you're in bed, you just don't feel like getting up, you know the feeling, what are you focusing on? You're focusing on something in the past, and no matter what it is, if it's negative, you're going to immediately feel negative. So your past or your future can become your present. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Another thing I want you to think about, especially too that, you know, you're Christian-based, and everybody knows this, you know, pretty much in life, that we're made up of our thoughts, correct? You have a thought, it creates an emotion, it creates an action, right? But one of the things that I want to do with you is take it to a whole another level when it comes to your thinking. Remember this, you are made up of your thoughts, Barry, but your thoughts are not made up of you. Let me illustrate that. It's like a house is made up of bricks, but the brick is not a house. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So what happens is as you start getting wrapped up into these negative emotional thoughts, is they become so consuming that you believe it's just, this is you, but it is not you, it's your thought process. And if you could change that perception, because remember, Shakespeare said, nothing is good or bad, but thinking makes it so. There is somebody out on this planet, a 7 billion people, Barry, believe it or not, that has gone through what you've gone through at the exact same time, but for some reason, they're just smiling a heck of a lot more. And we've got to figure out what it is that they're doing that's causing them to do that. Because sooner or later, you're going to. It may not be tomorrow, it may not be next year, it may not be 3 years from now, but sooner or later, with the right attitude, which it definitely sounds that you have, you're going to get there. All that makes sense?
One thing that, it all makes sense. And one thing that does give me hope is I think of, you know, everything that's happened to me, there's people out there that a heck of a lot worse things have happened that they can't recover from.
Stop right there. Like what? Give me some specifics, because if you have specifics, I'll tell you what. When I heard your story, you know, I mean, my story is pretty bad, and you know that. But when I read your story, even though my story is just as bad, not to minimize your story at all, I started thinking, wow, you know, maybe my story wasn't that bad at all. So the more I think about that, and that's the beauty of people listening to this, they're going to listen to your story and go, oh my goodness, I thought I had it bad. So what specific stories can you think of? Because what this does, this helps you start getting into gratitude mode, Barry, even though you've had it so challenging. So what are some of those specifics?
I mean, I just think a friend's relative, a young guy in his 20s, his wife was coming home from errands one day with their two children, and she was involved in a head-on collision. She was killed, one child was killed, and the other child was had some brain damage. I mean, there's some permanent things that, I mean, he can't fix the child with brain damage. That child he has to help that child for the rest of her life. I went back to a class reunion, high school class reunion this summer, and found out that one of my classmates had a mid-20s child that had muscular dystrophy or was, you know, wheelchair bound. She takes care of him 24/7.
Wow.
That's going to be with her the rest of her life.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can think of just things where, you know, somebody's involved in an auto accident and they become paralyzed.
So what does this do for you?
The rest of their life. I believe I have the ability to get through this. I just am struggling with how, and, you know, maybe I just want it to happen faster than it naturally should.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. So this is why we have to force some of that. And that's what we're trying to go through, some of these steps to help us to force that. You follow me?
Yeah.
So the next thing, number 7, is you need to get a tight support group of friends. Talk to me about that. You shared that with me a little bit in your email.
Yeah, you know, and I think about that a lot. I have a lot of friends. After Linda and I got married, our, you know, we did everything as a family. We didn't go out socially with friends like we used to. And so I've got a group of friends from the professional side. We've got a small group of friends from church. Everybody's busy with their own lives. And that's why I mentioned earlier, sometimes I feel like we're just abandoned. And, you know, it's not intentional. It's just my life had taken me away. And I don't have, you know, somebody that I go out with after work and have a beer with once in a while and you know, talk about things.
So, time out, Barry. What do we have to do? What do we have to do?
I need to reach out and get some people that I can do that with.
You have to.
Lean on that I can spend more time with.
Barry, no man is an island. And if you want to keep moving forward on this, no man is an island. And what you need to do, though, here's the thing. You need to specifically identify what kind of friend are you looking for. See, when I went through all my losses, I started first defining the type of new friends that I needed to look for. And I clearly defined them with specific things that they must have in my requirement. So for you, you've got to figure out, you obviously, if you have a rough day, the last person you need to go to is Mr. Ego Man, who thinks it's, you know, you're less of a man if you show emotion or tears, because now if you're having a bad day, he's a person you can't go to. And that's not what you need. You need somebody who understands that, you know, if you as a male want to cry because of what you're going through, well, dude, let's just cry it out together. That's what you're looking for, if in fact that's what you are looking for. And these are things that you want to have in your life because this is a type of person that you are, and this is where you get your support from. And without that support, as you know, you will feel abandoned. And how's that working for you?
Yeah, it's not.
And then what does that do for your hope?
Makes it go away.
Absolutely. So this all works together like a domino effect. And if one domino is not in place, it just goes to crap. So let's do a quick little review, and then with the review, I want you to tell me now what it is that you can do to go forward. Now, keep in mind, I'm not saying totally eliminate these emotions and feelings that you have. We're working on managing them. They're going to go away sooner or later. You still will always feel the loss of your wife. No one's going to take that away from you. But the thing is, we've got to learn to manage this, because if you don't manage it, then you're not going to be able to go forward. Keep in mind that when your feelings are not in harmony with your goals, ignore your feelings. My point in sharing that with you, one more time, when my feelings are not in harmony with my goals, ignore my feelings. What this means is there's going to be times that you're going to be sitting in that bed and you are rewarding that feeling of feeling discouraged and depressed. What you've got to learn to do is you've got to ignore those feelings and you've got to keep moving. So as you keep moving, you're not going to feel all excited and happy now because you're moving. You're still going to maybe feel the same way, but you're not rewarding the feeling. So now you're leading the feeling. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I can't let it control me.
Exactly. Now understand, as you lead it, you're still going to feel it, and that's understandable. But always remember, feelings change last. Don't be a slave to that feeling. Hang in there long enough, keep moving forward, doing things, and the feelings will eventually change. I'm going to donate this to you. I have a program called 3 Simple Steps to leading your feelings and not being a slave to them. I want you to contact my office later on, and I'm going to get that program to you as a gift to you, okay? Because that's definitely something that we want to have as well.
Thank you.
All right, so let's go ahead and do a quick review here. We've made an acknowledgement. Number one, we've acknowledged, you've given me a total honest assessment of what you're going through and how you've been reacting, so that's awesome. You were, for taking responsibility, you were way more open than I thought you would. That was huge. I mean, you really bit onto a lot of heavy stuff there. I commend you for that. Accept what you can't change. So what is it that you can't change about this that you're willing to accept to move on?
I can't change that I don't have my wife with me anymore.
Okay.
I can't change that I was laid off. I can take a new direction and either, you know, work harder at my businesses that I'm trying to get going, or get a job to get some income going. So I can, you know, that's an easy one to accept because of what I mentioned about that being a blessing in disguise.
Right, and I want you to write this stuff down because these are going to be your steps, Barry. You've got to have steps, and see what happens is when we are so stressed out emotionally and mentally.
I'm taking notes.
Good, and I'm going to give you a, you know, you'll get this program at no cost as well. But the thing is if you don't write these steps down, and I find out for me, when I'm in some huge emotional crisis, it is very difficult to keep your thoughts in line. And I know that I'm really doing bad, quote unquote, or know that I need to really manage a specific crisis when I have to write my thoughts down and know that's the thoughts or that's where I need to go or I have to have the step-by-step plan. It's like, you know, learning to fly a helicopter. You don't know when it takes off, does the nose go to the left or does it go to the right? But when you do it all the time, it becomes natural. But at first, you got to read it and study it and kind of get it in your head. Then after a while, it becomes natural. Well, when things are good, all this stuff usually becomes natural. But when it hits the fan, that's when you got to start looking at your paper every morning, wake up and say, okay, what do I got to do? Okay, we got to accept what we can't change. We got to manage our emotions. When my feelings are not in harmony with my goals, ignore my feelings. All right, well, I'm obviously not ignoring my feelings because I said I was going to get up at 7 o'clock and it's 12 o'clock. You know, that type of thing. I want you to start talking to yourself and working through this mentally back and forth, okay?
Right.
So we talked about managing your emotions, number four. Give me some things that you can do to help manage your emotions, not make them go away. If you can make them go away and they're negative, great. But remember, it's not always about making them go away yet. It's also about managing them so you can keep moving ahead in your life even though you don't feel that way yet.
Right, and that's a tough one. And I think, you know, when I'm cognizant that my emotions are running my day, I just tell myself, you know, this is stupid. Get on with things.
And remember,
I don't know if that's the right way.
No, that's fine. That's awesome because what you're doing, you're acknowledging that it's a thought. You're trying to separate yourself from that thought. And if you don't, it'll swallow and consume you. So, no, that's perfect. Absolutely do that. And the quicker you can do that, the quicker you're acknowledging that you're no longer willing to let this emotion consume you. Because how many times have you felt an emotion, you started going along and riding the wave of that emotion until hours or maybe a day later you realize, oh man, it's got me, it really controlled me, where you didn't even stop to separate you from that emotion. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We just get so wrapped up into it so easily that, man, it just sucks us dry. All right, the next thing, find hope. So what can we do to find hope? I'll give you something that I don't know if I've ever shared this publicly. When I went through my divorce, lost everybody, I actually started creating a journal, and I would write into it nearly every day. And my journal was, and it's not going to be applicable right now, obviously, in your case, because I didn't lose my wife to death. So I'm not, don't get me wrong here. But for me, I wrote a journal to my future wife. Every day I wrote down all my struggles and the challenges I have going through losing all my friends and all my so-called family and friends. And I wrote all this down and I said, I'm gonna turn this around and here's what I'm doing today. And today was an awful day and the next day will be better. Oh, the next day is better. And I would write this and it was amazing to watch as you read this, you can watch the attitude change as I get stronger and stronger and stronger. But I'm going to strongly encourage that you keep a journal. You can write it to somebody or just keep a journal of what's going on in your mind, what's going on in your day-to-day mind. And what that will do for you is as you continue to progress, you're going to be able to look back and go, oh my goodness, look at the growth. And if you can't measure that, there's no way for you to know how well you're progressing. I can look at some of my journals right now and I go, oh my goodness, I can't believe I was really in that thought process mode. So I want you to make it a goal starting today to put a journal down, put your thoughts down. I'd like you to do it daily, but definitely at least a couple times a week.
Okay.
So give me some areas in which you think you could find some hope, Barry.
We talked about the girls.
Yes.
And, you know, they're precious to me, and I'm not going to let what's going on with me emotionally cause them to go in the wrong direction. So
Time out. Say that again.
I don't want what's going on with me emotionally to result in them going in the wrong direction. I need to be there to encourage them, to you know, mentor them.
So every time you want to stay in bed and let it own you, what do you need to be thinking again?
I need to be there for them.
Ah, so if you're not there for them and you're in bed and you're not moving forward, you see the connection? So use them as that hope. And now keep looking for more hope. Do other things. I think we often, as you will agree, is when we have so much crisis and turmoil in our life, we start focusing on us and us only. We become the only problem in the world. And you've already given a great assessment at looking at other people. But another thing that I'd like you to strongly consider, what is it that you can do with your time to go out and help other people? Donate a little bit of your time to a boys club or to your church. Even if it's an hour a week, an hour every other week, it will force you to change your mindset and your perception, and it will help you get out of your own mind and be totally distracted with something that gives you peace of mind.
I see that, and I think doing that also helps me realize that, you know, other people have problems too, and other people have problems that are way bigger than mine.
And that's a good point, because if you don't allow yourself to do that and you become so insular, you start living on your own mental island, it's so hard to see that. And I think we all forget that. And when you push yourself, at first you might have to push yourself, you know, but when you, all you got to do it is once. I remember when after, you know, losing my wife telling me my baby's not mine, my father being murdered and all this stuff, one of the things that I did, I volunteered for a group where I helped young kids, teenage kids. And I tell you what, that did a world of good for me. And I also, as personal therapy, I also took art lessons where I painted things. And it just cleared the mind. And that's what you need. If you need anything, you need to clear the mind. And you need some, not something just purposely distracts you, but you need something that legitimately distracts your mind, because it makes you feel better. And helping other people is the best way to do it. Because, you know, as humans, we're so consumed about self. And man, when you get into things that you've been going through, it just, I mean, as you know, it just caves in.
Right.
All right, the last thing. A tight support group of friends. Not just a support group for what you're going through, a support group of friends for your life. Not just this, but for your life. So tell me, what kind of a friend are you looking for as a friend for life? Give me some examples. If you were going to go out today and you were going to go pick some friends, and somebody gave you 1,000 people out there, what is it specifically that you're looking for in a friend, Barry?
Someone shares the same values as I do. Someone that I can be honest with and know that I'm not going to be criticized for it. Someone that just shares maybe the same recreational activities, so we can just, you know, go do things for fun.
Okay. What about the emotional part?
I think the emotional part would come from someone that has the same values.
Okay. Good, good. Very good. And stick to that. Stick to that. Because as you stick to that, you already know what it's going to be, what works for you in a friendship, because, you know, it's not your first rodeo in life. And if you keep looking for those type of friends, we all need to lean on somebody. And I know for me, when I made my decision to leave that religion, I sought out 3 people. And I made a phone call, and I said, here's what's going on in my life, and I'm going to need you more than I ever have. And those people are still with me today, and I thank God every day for them. So make sure you keep doing that. And maybe some of the friends that you have that you're not reaching out to, but they would qualify as a real good friend for you. And when I say qualify, meaning that you could share emotionally what's going on, but you haven't because of whatever reason, but you know you've got some friends right now that would be good for that, then it's not going to kill you to go up to them and say, hey, you know what I've been through, obviously, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm really looking for some people that I can kind of lean on a little bit more, and I'd really like to have you in my corner. And when you communicate that with people, they really respect that, and it blows them away because, for one, guys don't talk this way. But when you think about it, if you allow yourself to be vulnerable, you're going to find that there's a lot of people out there that are willing to help you if you let them know about it. So I encourage you to do that, especially so in your church.
You know, thank you for that, because, you know, I reach out. I've recognized over the, you know, past year that if I don't reach out and make things happen to do stuff with people, it usually doesn't happen. But I've never reached out to somebody and said, you know, look, I really need you. This is the type of relationship I'd like to have with you. I haven't done that. I haven't thought of doing that. And, you know, on the contrary, what I think of is, oh, people don't want to be with me because all I do is whine and moan about my situation, which I try not to do, but it still comes out.
Well, it's so fresh. I mean, it's understandable. So you need somebody that understands what it's like to go through some major, major trauma. But you also want somebody not only to help you grieve, but also help you move on and not hang into the grieving more than you need to.
Right.
All right. So do you feel that you've got some tools here to help manage some of this craziness that you've been through?
Yes, I do. And, you know, some of it I've heard on your tapes and CDs that I've listened to, and it's just good to hear it again.
It makes a difference, too, when it's one-on-one, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Well, Barry, I'm so thankful that you've reached out to me and you did that, so good for you. And I do want to hear your progress in the future, so please, and I mean that seriously, I want you to email me and I will make sure that I get those emails. We'll put a flag on them for sure. We'll stay in touch and again, reach out so I can get that program to you, the three simple steps in leading your feelings, not being a slave to them, because that's definitely going to assist you as well. And keep up the good work. Reach out to me again and other people, and I look forward to seeing you continue to go forward as you manage the challenges that you have in your life. And I wish you the very best. God bless you.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much for your time, Gary.
And Barry, thank you so much for your time and trusting me as well. Bye now. Hey, it's Gary back with you again, one-on-one here. Wow. Talk about a heavy consultation, huh? You know, I was actually going to add a few more to this program, but I think this one had a lot of lessons, and I'm sure you would agree with that. Keep in mind that repetition is the mother of retention, and for me, the great part of doing what I do is I get to teach this stuff, and I'm constantly reminded of these steps and the thought processes that I've shared with you today. So when things get off of course a little bit for me, I know exactly mentally where to go. You want to make sure that you're able to do the same thing. You don't want to wait on time to heal all wounds. You want to move on quicker. So what we'll do now is let's take some time and go over these seven steps again. Then we'll see again how we applied them with Barry, and we'll throw in some more ideas. Number one, acknowledge. You can't change what you don't acknowledge. And if you remember, Barry really made an amazing, honest acknowledgement of how he was reacting and responding to what was going on around him. I think he did a tremendous job. So you want to make sure you do that. Acknowledge what's going on. How are you reacting? Is it good? Is it bad? Just be very, very cognizant of what is going on. The number two, take responsibility. I was blown away how open he was to taking responsibility. Word of caution, and number two, remember, why are we bringing this up right away? Take responsibility. It seems a little cold that you're minimizing the situation. Well, that's not what it's intended to do. It's intended to see how fast you can shift to the point of being able to look back, because you're going to look back, hopefully with the right attitude, you're going to look back no matter what your crisis is, maybe 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, and your perception most likely is going to be totally different. So if we could bring that perception faster, we're going to get through this faster. And one great way to do that is take responsibility. Now remember, this only applies into some situations it doesn't. But where you can and when you can, look back to see how you can take some responsibility of what happened. Number three, accept what you can't change. I cannot emphasize how powerful this is. I use this all day long. Specific things come up during the day. I'll find myself getting or wanting to get extremely frustrated or upset. The first thing I fire away back in my mind, can't change it. So if I can't change it, worrying or cussing or carrying on with anger, whatnot, that's not going to make anything better. And I literally see a change in my attitude instantly when I get ready to get very frustrated on something. Oop, stop. Accept what you can't change. And you only show that you accept it by how you respond. And Barry is doing a great being a great example of that. Of course, he's got more to go. He's still new into all this, but he's really accepting things that he can't change. And remember, that's why if you master this, that's why you don't have guilt and you don't have a lot of regret as well, because it's something that you understand that you have done or has been done to you or has gone through something that, or you've gone through something and you can't change it. And the fastest you can get there or the faster you can get there, everything will change for you. Huge, huge. Number three is powerful. Master that one and you'll feel instant change in your emotions and your feelings. And then we take ourselves to number four, manage your emotions. This is what three will help you do. Learn to manage our emotions. And again, I'm going to recommend my program, Three Simple Steps to Leading Your Feelings and Not Being a Slave to Them. Five, attitude. Barry's attitude from the moment of the consultation was amazing. Number one, he reached out to me, so that shows he wants to have somebody that he can lean on for assistance to help him manage through this extreme crisis that he's experienced. And the attitude that he had and shared with us, as I'm sure you would agree, was amazing. Your attitude changes all day long. Barry mentioned and related how his attitude in the morning is not good. Sometimes he just doesn't feel like getting up. That's attitude. Then something kicks in and then he changes that attitude and knows he has to get up. That's also a change or adjustment in attitude. Be very, very cognizant about your attitude. Then we focused on number six, find hope. You've got to find hope. One of the things that you have to do in life is fill your pipeline of hope as much as you possibly can. I'm always looking for more things and more ways I can add more hope to my life. Hope deferred makes the heart sink. So if you don't have much hope and it gets deferred or off track, what happens to the heart? It really sinks. So do what you can to fill your pipeline with as much hope as possible. Hope is purpose. Another thing I wanted to throw into this concept of hope is when we forgive, we can let a lot of things go. Not only just forgiving ourselves, but forgiving other people. I think it was on Oprah I heard she had a great definition that she had heard about the word forgiveness, and it was forgiveness is giving up the hope that the past could be any different. See, if you're still hoping and relying on the past and wishing it were different, you can't let go. You can't forgive, and if you don't forgive, you're drinking your own poison. Then number seven, you've got to have a tight support group of friends. And remember, this is not just a support group for the problems that you're going through specifically at a specific time. We're talking about a tight support group of friends in your life, in your everyday life, when things aren't going well and when things are going amazing. And always keep looking to add more people into your support group of friends. In fact, I believe some studies show that the more good, close friends you have, it seems to extend your life. And I could understand that. If you don't have any friends, I mean, how happy can you be? It really does minimize the excitement and the fun and the fact that you know that people care about you. When people know that you care and you have people that you know care for you, it makes a total difference in your life. And that also gives you what? More hope, more purpose. So friends, there you have it. Go through these seven things. Listen to this program on a regular basis. Listen to the consultation again with Barry and see how I work some of that consultation with him. Again, 1 through 7, acknowledge what's going on. Make an honest assessment of what's going on and how you are reacting to your crisis. 2, take responsibility. Take responsibility. Is there anything that you could have done to prevent this from happening? And remember, this is not to bring guilt or regret. Hopefully I shared the balance or a balanced way of looking at this when I discussed this with Barry. Number 3, accept what you can't change. Learn to master this. If you're not a master at number 3, make this one of your goals in life. And this will happen to you all day long. Things will happen to you. Somebody will say something. You will do something. You will drop something. You will break something. You can't change it. So change the attitude after that. That brings us to number 4, master your emotions. Then number 5, attitude. Watch that attitude. Number 6, find hope. Always be looking for hope. The more stress and crisis you have, it seems to diminish your hope. Be careful, because hope is the anchor to the soul. And number 7, work heavily on creating that tight support group of friends. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this program, and I hope you've gotten a lot out of it. This is something that, again, I encourage you to really take the time and listen to over and over. Because we never know what can happen, but we do know that we control how we respond to what happens. Between now and the next time we get to meet again, remember, don't let anything or anyone rent space in your head.